Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
I love being a mom, and across my 25 years of being a mom to three boys, two of which I'm really thrilled to have here today.
Love you, Mom.
Love you, Steve. The most frequently asked question in our household of my boys to their mom is, are you ready for it?
What's for dinner?
Yeah, see, you know. It's universal, isn't it? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? In fact, Andrew, who I can embarrass just ever so slightly this morning, it's not uncommon for Andrew to be sitting at dinner, polishing off dinner, right as he's finishing the last bite and saying, what's for dinner tomorrow? Yeah, he especially asks that if he's not particularly thrilled with the menu tonight, so he can kind of, you know, see if I'll redeem myself the following night. Yes, dinner has been and continues to be a really important part of the Case household, and obviously is of yours too, right? It's probably the most important daily event every day in our home still. And it doesn't matter. You know, Steve's 25, Drew's 19, or 23, sorry Steve, I added a couple years. Our oldest is 25. They still, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? Now, I don't want to be especially hard on my boys today because I think they get that trait honest. I've been told by my own mama, who's here today, that one of my very first words as a little child was, hungy. Hungy. Mom says I would pull myself up in my playpen and rattle the playpen side and go, hungy, hungy. That's pretty clear, right? Don't even need to understand toddler ease to understand that. I knew what to do to get some food, yes. I think from our very first day on life, of life, as a newborn baby, we cry out for food, right? Right, George? Yeah. Yes. Leora, she lets you know when she is ready for her next meal. Every baby does. We all did. To be hungry is a common experience known to all peoples of all times and all walks of life. And Jesus loved to use common experiences to teach these great big truths. It's just the kind of teacher he was. And you know, when we can relate to something that's a common experience, it's easier for us to understand. And our passage that we're going to look at today falls into that category for sure. Jesus talked about hunger when he was a man walking on this earth. And he even, catch this, all you cooks out there, I know both ladies and men can fall into that category. He even gave a recipe to follow that would bring satisfaction from hunger. Did you know that? He did, trust me. I'm gonna show you. I love a good recipe. In fact, I collect cookbooks to a fault. I love a good recipe, and we're gonna see what Jesus talks about in regards to hunger. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, and as you are doing that, let's do a little recap. What we've been studying these last few Sundays, Pastor Joe's been speaking on it, and Pastor Ed spoke on it. We've been talking about the I am statements of Jesus. When Jesus was here on earth, there were several times that he said, I am, fill in the blank. For instance, he said, I am the light of the world. And because Jesus is the light of the world, things are lit up in a different way so that we can see things in a different way. Jesus said, I am the gate. And because he is, we have access to God the Father all the time. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Ed shared with us, because he is, we can receive hope and new life. And last week, Pastor Joe shared, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. And because he is, we can know which way to go. And finally, today, our focus today, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And because he is, we can be truly satisfied. So John chapter 6, We're going to start at verse 25. And we're going to go through to 40. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. Let's stand together for the Word of God. John chapter 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. So just before, the day before, this passage that we just read, just the day before, the 24 hours earlier had been a totally amazing day. Jesus had been teaching a big crowd of people, thousands of people, all along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. And it was getting very late, and people were starting to ask the question, "What's for dinner?" Yeah, "What's for dinner? What's for dinner?" First, it was probably the little kids asking. You know, they're the ones that start asking about 2 hours before we're supposed to eat. "What's for dinner? What's for dinner?" And then maybe the teens. I don't know. Maybe the teens went first. I don't know. You think? "What's for dinner, Mom? Dad, what are we going to eat? What are we going to eat?" But then it was getting later and later, and I think everybody was starting to get hungry. The adults were starting to think about how they were going to feed the kids and the teens. Even Jesus' disciples, their stomachs were starting to growl. How are we going to feed all these people? I know some of you have heard this story before. The disciples start brainstorming. Jesus says, "Well, we got to feed them." And they're like, "Yeah, right. What are we supposed to do?" So they start looking around in the crowd for food. And the only thing they can locate is one little boy had a very conscientious mother who packed him a lunch. And it had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that was all they could find in the whole crowd. But you see, in the hands of Jesus, everything is always more than what it looks like. Amen?
True.
Yes. And not just lunches, right? But a lunch for sure. In the hands of Jesus, those 5 loaves and those 2 fish and that little lunch are multiplied over and over and over until it feeds dinner to 5,000 guys plus all their kids and teens and women folk. Fed them all. Miraculous, right?
Yes.
You bet it is. I can't, that blows my mind. I mean, we worry, you know, when we have VBS snacks, if, you know, we're counting our Capri Suns, because we know there's going to be a revolution if we don't have enough, right? Yeah. That was satisfying. Absolutely. If you back up to verse 12, it says, they all had enough to eat. Now, that's really saying something. They all had enough. Everyone was full. Everyone was satisfied. There were even leftovers. 12 baskets full. And you know, the math just doesn't add up there, folks. 12 baskets of leftovers from one little sack lunch. definitely some divine intervention there. And the crowd was ecstatic. In fact, they decided right then, let's make Jesus king. I will follow this guy anywhere. He fills our bellies. The bread never ends. Put a crown on him. Put a crown on him now. And you know, that was seriously what they were thinking of doing. And Jesus knew that. And he knew that his mission on earth was not to become some kind of earthly king. It was a lot bigger than that. It was a lot more than that. So like Jesus sometimes does in the scriptures, you see him quietly slip away. I have no idea how he does that, but he does it several times. And, you know, he's Jesus, so I shouldn't really wonder how he does it. But scripture tells us he snuck away. He even somehow gave his disciples the slip. They didn't even know where he went. He went away alone, withdrew, it says in scripture, to the mountain. If you look earlier in chapter 6, you can read that whole story. That's just the day before. And then, on the overnight, well, the disciples had no idea where he went. So they jump in the boat, and they thought, well, maybe he crossed the river. Maybe he got in the boat with somebody else. So they leave. They get in the boat, and they start to cross the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is still on the mountain, apparently. And it's the middle of the night, and, well, Jesus does come and join them. But he just walks out there, 3 miles out into the middle of the lake, and gets in the boat with them, right? And we know that story, too. It's a storm comes up. Yeah, the whole thing. That story happened overnight. So the 24 hours preceding this passage that we just read today, Jesus feeds the 5,000. He walks out on the water to meet his disciples, and they go to the other side of the lake. Well, the next morning is when our passage picked up at verse 25. In the morning, the same people, maybe not down to a head, but a lot of those 5,000, they come back to find him. They come back to the same place to find him, to look for Jesus, and he's not there. And word on the street is he crossed the lake. So the ones who could, they jump in their boats and they cross the lake and they go looking for him. And you know what they say? When they get there and they find him, what's the first thing they say?
What's for dinner?
Yeah, except for it's lunch now. But yeah, what's for lunch? Yeah. Well, not in those exact words. But you see, Jesus has this great way of seeing right through us. Right through our words and to the very heart of our motive. He knows the motive behind our words. There is absolutely no way to hide that from Jesus. He knows this. He knows this inside and out, through and through. So when these folks came chasing across the lake for Jesus, and they started a conversation with him, Jesus knew what they were really looking for was their next meal. So look again at verse 26. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." They'd gotten their bellies full yesterday, but alas, they were hungry again. They were hungry again, so they went looking for their meal ticket again, right? Looking for Jesus again. Sometimes the truth is, and this is true for me too, and I think all of humanity, sometimes we only go looking for Jesus when we need something.
Amen.
That's right.
It happens. And you know, As a follower of Jesus for many years, I still sometimes will find myself being that little child saying, "What's for dinner, Jesus? How are you gonna fill this need for me? How are you gonna meet this need for me?" And now, as a Christian who's been walking a while, the Lord adjusts me often. He does. It's a human condition, isn't it? But sometimes, you know, even in our own lives, do you ever know any people who only come and find you when you have something they want? Or something they need, and that's the only time they hunt you down? It's not a very good feeling, is it? It's not a very good feeling. Jesus understood the motives of these folks. He still loved them. He did. He understood, could see them inside out, knew their motives through and through. Still loved them, even though he knew they were only looking to him for their temporal needs to be met. They had not yet realized what their greatest need. And it wasn't a physical one. It's a spiritual one. And Jesus, in this passage, he's trying to help them see when he says, in verse 27, he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. And the people say, work? Did you say work? What do you mean we have to work? What kind of work do we need to do then, is their next question. And Jesus says, the work is believe in the one that God has sent. Believe in me, Jesus says. That's the work. Believe in me. And what is their response? I feel like I'm like having a conversation with a child. And they say, well, what about that miraculous thing you could do for us? And then we can do the work of believing in you. Yeah, I've heard kids kind of go around that. Mom, if you give me the cookie now, then I can do the cleanup. What about that miracle, Jesus, that you could do for us? And then we could believe in you. Remember how you gave our ancestors manna, bread, in the desert? Remember you did that, Jesus. And there they are, right back to the same question, what's for lunch? Yeah, they've come full circle. What are you going to give us, Jesus, so we can believe in you? You gave bread to our ancestors. Where's our bread? Feed me. Jesus, I'm hungry. Feed me. And finally, Jesus says, I am the bread. I am the bread, he says. I am the bread of life. And those who come to me will never go hungry. And those who believe in me will never be thirsty. Jesus says, I know you're hungry, belly hungry. But you don't even realize what you're truly hungry for. You think you need bread for your stomach. But what you really need, even more than that bread, is bread for your soul.
Amen.
Jesus is trying so hard to help them move up to the next level, the next kind of bread that really is a greater need. They said, but Jesus, we need lunch. If you give us lunch now, we'll believe in you after lunch. And Jesus said, what you need now is a lot bigger than lunch. Lunch will satisfy you for a few hours, and then you're going to be hungry again. But the bread I give will satisfy you in a way you can't even fathom or understand. And this kind of satisfaction will stick to your ribs for a lifetime. They were on two different planes, weren't they? The people were talking about temporal hunger, in this case, belly hunger. And I'm sure once they got bread in their bellies, they'd move on to another thing they needed, another temporal need. They'd say, oh, Jesus, thanks, that was some great bread. Now, if I had a better house, Jesus, I'd be truly satisfied, and it would be so much easier for me to believe in you. And if we could just really deal with this Roman government issue, Jesus, then we would be really satisfied. And it would be just, we would believe in you and believe in you. And oh, Jesus, if you could deal with my husband. Or, you know, my kid, they sass me. Boy, if you could take care of that, Jesus, then I could believe in you. And on and on and on, right? Yeah. And you know, Jesus isn't talking about any of these kind of temporary hungers, although Jesus cares about our struggles. He does. But he knows about the hunger of all hungers is a heart hunger. And that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Let me tell you, I love pizza, but a pizza cannot satisfy heart hunger. Even one from Benny's, our hometown, it satisfies something, but it does not satisfy heart hunger. I can go to the mall and shop for a new outfit, and it might make me feel good for a very short period of time, but it does not satisfy heart hunger. Don't miss this. A new relationship with the perfect Mr. or Mrs. Wright can't satisfy heart hunger, although the whole world practically is convinced that this is the key to your heart's desires. A new car, new promotion, achieving a perfectly skinny toned and fit body cannot satisfy our heart hunger. Fill in the blank with that thing that you think, as soon as that is taken care of, as soon as I achieve that, then I'll be satisfied and I can believe. The truth is, the whole world is hungry for all kinds of things, and they're going to go on being hungry for this and that and the other thing until they address the root of all hungers, our heart hunger. So that recipe I promised you. Let's talk about what Jesus says is the recipe for satisfying the heart hunger in our life, the hunger of all hungers. What is that recipe? If you look at verse 35, and if you've got a pencil or a pen, I want you to mark that in your scripture. Verse 35, John 6:35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." Do you see the first ingredient there? He who
believes.
That is one. What's the one before it? He who
comes.
Yeah, they're both in there. I think comes, he says comes. The first ingredient comes. We've got to truly come to Jesus, the bread of life. We can't come only when we need something and then vamos. We can't come until our bellies are full and our temporal need is met and then sneak away. That's not coming. Coming is not only coming when it's convenient and leaving when it's not. When we come to Jesus, when we're looking to satisfy that empty place inside us, that heart hunger, we come to Jesus, body, mind, and spirit. We do. We come with all of us, all our mess, the whole thing, all my mess. I bring it to Jesus. And sometimes that means when we come that we leave some things. We leave some stuff behind. You know, I think that's a perpetual thing that the Lord works on us over an extended period of time. We come to Him, and as we get moving on that path with Him, well, we leave some stuff. We leave a trail of stuff that we don't need, that we don't need. But coming to Jesus means all of us, we come to Him. He invites us. He invites every blessed one of us. He says, "Come to my table. Come. Receive the bread of life. Come. You're invited." Isn't it great to feel invited?
Amen.
I love when someone invites me to their special celebration, to their party, to their special event, to their wedding, to their shower, to even just to come to dinner. I feel honored. I feel special. I want you to know Jesus is inviting you, every one of you, specifically you, by name. He calls your name and says, "Come. Come out of that grave." We sang that today, didn't we? Come, receive the bread of life. And when we come, when we truly come, we embrace Him with everything we are. And we come to stay. And we come knowing, yeah, it's going to cost us something. Because, you know, when you say yes to something, sometimes you're saying no to something else. But it's worth the cost, my friends. It's worth it. And then believe. That's the second ingredient. Yeah. Go back to that verse 35 again. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. That's our next step. And you know, it's a simple, even a little child can understand. We choose to believe that Jesus is who He says He is. We embrace Him as the bread of life, as the one who gives us life, as the life-giving Savior. And you know, in doing so, we say, "Oh, I've got a problem." Everybody has a problem with sin. "I've got a problem with sin, Jesus." And we confess. That's a fancy churchy word that says we just tell Him all about it. We tell Him what we've struggled with. We tell Him where we've mucked it up. We tell Him how we've messed it up. You don't have to tell everybody, but you tell Christ. You tell Jesus. You tell Him. And you know what? He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to say, "Oh, you're a lost cause." Nope, that's not in His vocabulary. Remember, He's the one that invited you. He's the one that invited you. You're not the one knocking on His door. He's the one knocking on your door saying, "Come." Saying, "Come." We tell Him all about our stuff, our junk, our baggage. And we accept and believe that he came as a man to walk on this earth and die to pay the price for all that junk of ours. Because he loves us so much, he knew we couldn't take care of it ourselves.
Amen.
I tell the kids, he took our woman. He said, I'll take care of that for you. And because of that, we can stand before the Lord with a clean heart. It's the blood of Jesus that washes us clean. And we can have a right relationship with God. And he's not going to turn anybody away who will come and believe. And finally, the last ingredient for this recipe, I'm actually going to source another spot where Jesus spoke. And you don't have to turn to it, but you might write it in the margin of your Bible. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." When we come and when we believe, we're seeking God's kingdom, we're seeking his will in our life, and you know what? All that other stuff, all these things will be added to you. We come, we believe, and then we can trust that he'll meet all our other needs in his way and his timing. Come, believe, trust, trust him. The whole world is deeply hungry. We are too. We're part of the whole world, right? Jesus is the only one who can truly satisfy. He is the bread of life. He invites all of us to come to his table. Believe in him as Savior. Trust him to meet your needs and be truly satisfied. And you know, if you've already come and believed, you know, today's a great day to just say, and I really meant that, Lord. I really meant that. I'm still coming to you, and I'm still believing in you, and I'm still trusting in you. But if you haven't yet made that choice, let me tell you, today's a perfect day. Today's a perfect day. And he's got your name on the invitation that says, hey, I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to come and believe.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.